three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this Wednesday, 16th of February, very early in the morning, so hope you enjoy that. I thought we're about just over a quarter of the way through the season, so I thought I'd reintroduce who we are on this podcast. Joseph Corr is my name, and I'm joined by Andrew Kenyon, who'll make himself known in a second. I really think this show is a newspaper show about the NBL, so we go through, we really talk about each game from the last round and the games going into the next round, so unlike other shows that kind of break down little topics, this is more of a newspaper show. Top of the program, Patreon. If you like the show, do become a Patreon supporter. We'd appreciate that. We have 25 or so, and I won't go through them all by name, but thank you for coming. But more importantly, co-host Andrew Kenyon. How you doing?
Yeah, hey, Joe. It's nice to be here again. It's maybe early morning for you, but it's late night for me in the West, on the West Coast. As
we've got it covered. Sydney, Perth, we're right across the country.
That's it. We're
stretching expanse in between.
Hands across Australia. Just, you know, as the song goes, changing it up a little bit. We cover it coast to coast. But I've been like reintroducing ourselves. I've been a fan of this league since 1987. Bit of a hardcore fan. Used to play the game, but I'm just getting too old now.
Yeah, and we jump in the presses occasionally, and not as often as we'd like, actually, but jump in there. And then as far as myself, Joseph, I do a little bit of stuff with Stats Perform and ESPN, a couple other outlets. So I don't know if that gives us any better standing, but it's something.
It's credibility.
What are we going to do on this show?
Definitely credibility. Yeah, I don't
know, if you say so. On this episode, we're going to go through pretty much each game from the last round, have a quick look towards the next round. We more like to do things retroactively here. So we've got a number of games to get through. Offshooting from these games, we'll talk about some of the bigger topics, but let's just jump straight into it. First game of last round was the Phoenix and Sydney. Phoenix lost this one. What do you think, Andrew?
Phoenix and Sydney. You go ahead first because I've got
you
to
can't remember it.
It's so long ago and I've been sick. Okay. I'm just going to declare that now. I've been crook over this weekend. So my focus has been a struggle.
Phoenix lost this one tightly. The only note I've got here is this was the Phoenix's third game in, I think, either 5 or 6 days in which they were without about 3 or 4 of their major players. Sydney still won it, not to take anything away from them, but this was an undermanned and overworked Phoenix, and they just lost it due to fatigue errors. And that's really all I've got to say. They played a game on a Saturday, Monday, and this was a game on a Thursday of last week, and they lost.
Schedule loss. What you would say.
Schedule loss.
And
but Sydney have built some form. We're going to talk about him in a second. But yeah, sorry.
Andy. Yeah. Speaking of building some form, this is where Ryan Brokoff started to build some form. You know, he had that rebounding game. This one, 25 points. Starting to maybe. Well, what I'm finding interesting from his games is he's not relying on the three ball quite as much as he was. He's attacking the rim. He's sort of, you know, doing the basics. And then stretching out to the three-point line. So I think that's what it's nice to see. And maybe they've unlocked Ryan Brokoff, perhaps. Yeah.
I had this conversation with Simon Mitchell directly. I said, this guy had a hell of a resume. Boomers, NBA, bit of Europe. And, you know, everything that we thought his game was going to be, he's done the opposite. He I don't think he's hit a three. In the game where he had 20-plus, I don't think he hit a single three. He got to the line 14 times. He hit 12 or 14 free throws or thereabouts. And then the rebounds. I was like, who is this guy? So when the shot starts to fall, but the question is, can he do both? Can he be a off the bounce rebounding defender who then is ready to catch and shoot? Or is it one or the other with this guy? He's been, I wouldn't even say he's been, he's been a bit frustrating, but now it's just becoming intriguing for me.
Yeah. It goes to the other comment about a lot of people make about playing time. These are the games where they've been undermanned. And so he gets more court time. With more court time comes more productivity. And I just think maybe that's something for that club to think about.
Keen point. And all clubs.
Yeah.
Let's jump on to the next one. Brisbane and Adelaide. This is the one where Adelaide just lost it bad. But before we do, before we talk about this game specifically, let's talk about Humphreys. You had it in your rundown.
I did.
Tell me.
Well, it's you didn't you have some sort of steak dinner resting on this bet that Humphreys wouldn't make it through the season?
He would not play half the season, and he hasn't even played a quarter.
No.
Bless his heart.
No. And this brings up another bit of listener feedback. So jumping around a little bit here, but our good friend Nick Tan wanted us to talk about vague messaging from clubs. And in particular, he singled out the 36ers. They talked about Humphreys being out for the season, but they were slow to come to that because they talked about concentrating on rehab. And that was sort of the crux of the first article they made. And then it almost seemed like they were outed by the newspaper, I think. And then they kind of made a follow-up statement, I think, saying, yes, he is actually done for the season. It's like, this vague messaging, it's pathetic.
I agree. Pathetic is the word. And I just don't understand. I don't understand the need for the secrecy. If he's out, he's out. If he's not, he's not. If there is some sort of undeterminedness, that's not a word, but if there's any, you don't know what's going on, just say that too. Like, oh, he's rehabbing. It's likely he'll miss the season. Perhaps he'll come back sooner. But this thing was it was about 500 words. And I got to the end of it and thought, this is like when you listen to a four-year-old. You know when you call a friend? Sometimes I've got young kids and the kids are, oh, put me on the phone. And they sit on the phone and they go, hello. Like, yeah, hello. Yeah, I'm here to speak to your father. Yeah, huh? And they just don't say anything on the phone, but they suck up 5 minutes of your time.
Yeah.
This is what that was in print. Yep. It was incredibly frustrating. I agree with Nick Tan, and there's no need for it. As far as Humphreys goes, I don't know. He missed time last year. He's missed time this year. There was big raps on him. I saw a lot of previews where it was, going to be a top 15 guy in the league or a top 10. It just hasn't happened. I could see it coming. I just, for whatever reason, and it's happened.
Yeah. I just think, I'm guessing it's maybe Jeff Van Groningen writing these releases. Mm. Can I just recommend to him?
I have that suspicion.
Can I recommend to him perhaps a book you might want to look at? It's called The Elements of Style. It's by Strunk and White. It teaches you how to write effectively and with fewer words than perhaps he likes to use.
Great. I couldn't put that any better. That's a great book. And buy it from Booktopia using the link in the description.
There you go.
The one thing I want to say about Nick Tan bringing it up about being open about this sort of stuff. There's a really good article put out this week, not about the NBL, about probably the best article about basketball, not about the NBL or the NBA this week. And it's by a guy by the name of, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Donatas Obonis. He comments on the EuroLeague. He's put it out just an hour ago. EuroLeague team budgets researched is one of the most challenging topics in Europe, and I tried my best, is what he's written in the tweet. And it basically goes into budgets in the EuroLeague teams. This is kind of related when we're talking about being forthright. Europe's having the same problem where some teams want to give it their payload and some teams call press conferences like Žalgiris, the Lithuanian team, and they talk about the health of their club and what they've spent and so on.
Yep.
And other teams are very cagey about it. Anyway, he's put up the spend of these teams. And when we're talking about mixed messaging, I mean, a lot of people say, oh, NBL, second best league in the world. Well, look at these numbers. Look at the amount of money flying around using the EuroLeague teams. It's just not possible. Real Madrid has a total budget of 44 million euros. So it's about, you can almost double
100 mil?
Yeah. Thereabouts, like euros, Okay. So that's 100 mil. That's total budget. Player salaries, they estimate it around about 35 million euro.
Jeez.
The NBL budget would be between 1 and 2, I would think. I think the salary gap was 1.3 a couple of years ago. So when you're talking like this, this comes from everything. And I understand brand appeal and invitation to treat on behalf of the NBL. I get that. But there's also, there is a appeal in just being what you are. And anyway, there's a great article and I suggest everyone read it because it's done in as plain English. Despite the writer of the article having English as a second language, it's written in more plain English than the Adelaide 36ers injury press release on Humphreys, which is the total irony. So, but going back to this Brisbane Adelaide game.
Yeah.
This was the Patterson game.
Yep.
Where he probably turned in the best performance of NBL 22 so far.
Yeah, 32 points. And was just looked smooth, didn't he? That mid-range jumper was going, he was getting to the rim as
splashy.
Yeah.
Sort of like a mid-range Golding. Yeah,
he was that's a nice watch. Description. he just felt very confident that he could get to his spots. And when he got to that spot, he was going to make that shot, which is good because some of his teammates didn't really come with him. So he really had to carry that team.
In fairness, this was a team without Nathan Sobey, their arguably best or second best player. So the fact they, but Adelaide, what'd you make of them? They blew it.
Yeah, like, yes, they did. They're just not a very good team, are they?
And with Humphreys out, the construction is off.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you look at Withers. I mean, geez. And this is also a game where they were out Hannahs.
Yes.
So
Mahava King, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. And so they've got one import. And you would think, well.
So you got to remember, with Hannahs, he played a good game the week before, so he's due for a night off. That's kind of how a lot of these imports, and that's how, unfortunately, Hannahs has been thus far. But sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, I just think Todd Withers is just such a bust. And why do you keep persisting? Yeah, I mean, now that the team has broken down in terms of its structure, absolutely, they need to either move on him or they need to go and get another import because they've only got the two imports, right?
Yeah, so, and now Humphrey's hurt. So they've got a spot for a third.
They've got to do something. Or they're just going to – just tanking. But it's not a lot of benefit in tanking. Jeff Van Groningen, I know he loves his NBA connections, but, mate, there's no benefit in tanking in the Australian League.
I think with Humphreys as well, it's going to be interesting. Is his money guaranteed? You know, I don't know. I don't know how contracts work in the NBL so much, but, you know, if they don't replace him, they haven't been overly eager to replace him. You would have thought.
I would have thought
he hasn't played all year.
It'll be an insurance. You know what I mean?
They had plenty of time to.
Insurance would cover his wage, wouldn't it? I don't know. This is the details we don't get told, right? But
also, yeah, and that's when we come back to Nick Tan to talk about, you know, transparency. But with Humphreys, you could see he wasn't going to play for a while and they haven't got his – or maybe they have, but haven't. It doesn't seem like they've got the wheels turning on his replacement. You would have thought if they were going to announce this, they'd go, Humphreys is down, but we've got this player coming in. They haven't done that.
Yeah.
So I just don't know where this team sits. I want to talk about Mitch McCarron. Had that really bad pass that Patterson intercepted for then the flush.
Yeah, yeah.
He had six turnovers in this game. I thought they were an uncharacteristic six turnovers. Boy, I put that up on Twitter and people were like, uncharacteristic. This guy throws the ball around. I was like, no, he seems pretty – he's chancy but never reckless with the ball. But this game, I don't know what happened on that pass. That was not his finest moment. These things happen.
No, it wasn't. And again, he's just not being assertive enough. He needs to, you know, take this team by the scruff of the neck and say, right, I'm going to control this team. Yeah. 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 I mean, well, Cam Besto is actually, I would say, their best player, a guy that was picked up off the scrap heap, which says a lot about this whole team. Daniel Johnson is just like, I think he's cooked.
He's had a couple of bad games in a row. It all depends on what
you pay
for him.
Defense is pitiful.
Oh, pitiful. And he's not putting up the production. No, I agree with that. And, you know, some guys age gracefully and decline a little bit over time, and some guys keep it and then all of a sudden fall off a cliff, and we will remain to be seen there. But yeah, you're right about McCarron. He's their best player, and it shows you the construction when you say Besto is their best player, a guy they got late in the piece. And so you've had all these major building blocks, your two imports, McCarron and John, and you've had all this construction, and the one guy who's playing the best for you is the last pickup.
Yeah.
Just shows you, like, what's the mindset in building this? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And simple facts, like, over in Illawarra, Isaac White, I think, is a kid from Adelaide who went to Stanford, I want to say, playing in Illawarra. Why isn't this kid in Adelaide? I don't get it. And it's little things like that where he's like a Hannah's substitute, not as good, but could come off the bench and, you know, if he's hot, he gives you 12 points, and if he's not, he sits. And they don't pursue this sort of stuff, and instead they've got, you know, this weird roundabout team. The other thing I want to talk about this game is Patterson. So I had this amazing performance, probably the best of NBL 22 to that point, since been eclipsed.
Yep.
Didn't do the presser.
Mm.
And that bugged me. You didn't sit in on that presser, but what do you think about that? He had this great game. Everything's poised. I was like, oh, here we go. Patterson's going to come out.
Yep.
And it was Deng Deng. No offense to Deng Deng. He had a great game too, but gee, for theatre's sake, you would have thought that's Patterson.
You need love. Especially when he had a 30 piece. Like, you've got to get him. People want to ask the questions. Like, we're trying to promote the league here. He's their superstar import, you'd have to say. You know, like, Franks might disagree with that, but he is. You know, you got to put his face forward when you can, and what better time to do it when he scored 32? Like, yeah, he should have been there.
He should have been there.
Is he shy?
I think with that,
what's
as well,
the story?
Well, he could be shy, but I asked the question. I said, listen, James Duncan, what, you know, Lamar Patterson's had the performance of the night. We all know it. Why isn't he here? And if people want to go back and watch it, he was a little bit taken aback and sort of, wow, Deng Deng had a great game. But I was about to say to him, well, if Deng Deng had 32 and Lamar Patterson had 6, would Patterson be sitting there? I don't think so. I wanted to say that, but you know, you don't want to do too much in these press conferences. So that really irritated me because it just did. It really, really bugged me. It should have been Patterson there and say whatever he was going to say. And it comes down to this quote that Pete Vesey gives where he, at the Chicago Bulls training at the height of their fame, Jordan would take off and they'd be speaking to Will Perdue.
Yep.
And Will Perdue would be like, oh, I don't really want to talk to you reporters. And he would always reply something like, yeah, well, you think we want to talk to you? You don't think we want to talk to those two guys sneaking out the back door? Come on, give us a break. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Hawks and Cairns.
Yeah, this is one I actually missed because I had exceeded mm-hmm. my Cairns Taipans budget in terms of watch time. I was like, I'm out on the Cairns Taipans. I don't find them attractive to watch at all. So I was
out. Wow, why not?
And I was sick, so I was out on this one. Cairns Taipans, like, I know they're sort of they've got the underdog sort of status this season, and you might say that they kind of try hard, but they try hard sometimes. I just don't find them that interesting to watch.
Okay. They play like their coach, I'll say that much.
What is that, feisty?
Just feisty. They play hard. I actually don't mind watching them play. They're not the Cairns Taipans of 2 years ago.
No.
Machado, Oliver. That was the most fun team of the last couple of years.
Yep.
By far. They're not that team. They're scrappy. They go through huge lulls. And I mean, this was 87-81 for people at home. Cairns shot 35% from the field. Mm. They just don't have the talent.
No.
They've got Machado who's coming back and McCall who's quite good but can't shoot. And then they've just got guys who are, you know, good but just not. They were out talented.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
I'll end it at that.
Yeah.
Anything else from this game or these teams?
Well, we've got a bit of another taking it to the tweets moment here. Our friend Jack.
Yep. Sorry.
What's going on back there?
Oh, just Cairns taking it to the tweets and funny videos. I thought you were going to talk about Andrew B. Price, but that's the next game. Sorry.
Okay.
You were saying.
Right. No. So this is Jackson McDonald 91, mm-hmm. J. McDonald 91. Yep. He's got a question about Keanu Pinder. Last week I was saying, is Keanu Pinder actually good? He's saying, was Keanu Pinder held back last year by Andrew Canyon's favorite coach, Connor Henry, or is he just excelling under Ford in Cairns? What do you think, mate?
I think excelling. I think also he's gotten a little bit older and a little bit stronger, and athleticism plays in this kind of slightly COVID talent leached season. You look at we're jumping ahead, but the Adams dunk on Patterson.
Yep.
If that was anyone other than Lamar Patterson, that's getting sent, well, had a chance to be sent back, but it was Patterson who can't get above the rim and Adams beat him there. But Pinder is probably the most athletic player. And that has cause and effect. And I think it's paying off. I still think he's the same player he was in Adelaide. A little bit better, a little bit older.
Yep.
But I certainly see the case for Connor Henry. Which way are you going?
Yes. Well, I think Connor Henry held that whole team back. He was, you know, so anybody playing under Connor Henry is going to struggle to perform at their mm-hmm. best because that guy had no clue. And it would have been hellishly frustrating playing for a guy like that. How do you get motivated when you've got a Muppet coaching you?
Andrew, you
are fired up.
You are sick and sour, my friend. Speak on it.
Do you think is Connor Henry listening?
I hope not.
I doubt it. I think I'm safe.
I don't.
I think he was probably held back a bit last year, but I do think he has shown improvement. I don't know him at all, but he seems to me like a guy who needs like some confidence and some faith and trust around him, like a bit of a support network kind of guy. Like, and I feel like he's getting that with Ford. I feel like Ford's got his back and it's probably encouraging him and motivating him and not getting on him too much when he does the odd dumb thing.
But I thought he had plenty of leash last year. We were always complaining that he was getting, you know, massive minutes over Jack McVay. I felt it was a different situation. I think in Adelaide, I think he was put into a role that was too big. He bit off more than he can chew.
Yeah, fair enough.
Really do. I mean, he played big minutes last year and was a starter, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm.
This year, I think Ford's like, here's what you do well, do that. And he just attacks the rim. and the jump shot's been holstered. A few other things, and he's just really attacking the rim hard, and there is that spot for him because Majuk Deng's on the outside. I also think this has got to do with, you know, not having to play with Daniel Johnson slowing you down all the time, but he's got Zimmerman, who's not the speediest either, but yeah. Let's watch the next game. People, you're smart at home. You watch the next one and you let us know on Twitter or what have you.
There you go.
Anything on the Hawks?
Well, they got the win, didn't they? So that's probably a good thing, and as much as they could hope for at this point in time. But they still don't seem – I think you had the question of the – was that this game you asked the question about the joy?
No, it was the loss last round.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
When they lost to Southeast Melbourne by the point.
Yeah. They just don't have it. Like,
why not? This is what I don't get. Like, Harvey's back. Harvey's not playing the level.
I would say there's too much. I mean, I didn't see this game. I did see the condensed highlights version of it. So I saw some elements of this game, but I just think there's too much one out basketball going on. Wow. They're not. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like I'll have a turn. Now you have a turn. They haven't found that rhythm and trust in one another yet. I would think. That would be my suggestion. Well,
the defense isn't as good as well. I mean, last year they were holding teams in the low 70s.
Oh, true, yeah.
And maybe that's AJ Ogilvy not playing. AJ Ogilvy's, is his career done? I haven't seen him in weeks.
I know, he must be. It's just
He had a good year last year.
He was really good. Like, it seemed like
he was their starting center.
He was rejuvenated last year.
And now he's not and doesn't play. And I'm kind of like, well, maybe it might be nice to have a guy who can snatch a few rebounds, block a few shots. Kind of like Zimmerman for Cairns, who, you know, he just grabs rebounds.
And I reckon AJ
in the paint.
I think AJ Ogilvy probably organized the team at the defensive end, you know, having that center calling out what's going on, talking.
He's their captain, yeah.
You know, I'm not sure you're getting that same leadership from Duop at that center position.
It's a good point. I just think maybe I haven't heard any questions or answers as to why Ogilvy's not playing. Maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's done. He's transitioning into a coaching role. Don't know, but he seemed to be effective last year. And they used to hold teams to, you know, these games were slogfests. 73-75 to 77 was not an uncommon scoreline for Illawarra. Now, this was 87-81 to Cairns. They got up 81 points to Cairns. We don't get it. On that Gorgian thing and they're having fun, I got to toot our own horn here. About a year ago, we first did press conferences and were scoffed and mocked and told, you don't belong here. Like, can you please leave without making a scene? And that didn't feel good. And now this week, that press conference happens. And to see, and I must admit, I'm probably trumping it up a bit, but to see answers to questions that NBL Pocket Podcast has asked show up not only in articles, but also paraphrased and quoted on television by the very same who scoffed and mocked is a damn good feeling to know that they've taken those words, billed the NBL and others, and been paid for it. I have one thing to say to those people, and that's you're welcome. You are very welcome. Anytime. Happy to oblige.
You're welcome.
Anything else? Let's go on to the next one, unless you got something else on those two teams.
Can I just thinking of you're welcome. I'm just going to take a total sidebar here.
Do it, man.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
A little bit.
I didn't really watch the Super Bowl because I don't really care. I watched the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yes, yeah,
but I watched the pregame because I just wanted to watch The Rock appear as The Rock, which he did to do the team introductions. And I got to say, now there's a strong crossover and correlation between NBL fandom and WWE fandom. And it was great to see The Rock throw out some of the, finally, The Rock has come back. And do the other thing about talking about the millions and millions of fans there for the game. Great to see The Rock, still ripped, still huge. Love it.
I know, right? I loved him as a wrestler. I don't think I've watched any of his movies bar Moana. But it was good to see. Let's go to Melbourne Perth.
Sorry, man. That wasn't in the outline, was it?
It's fine. No, it's perfect. The Venn diagram of WWE and NBL is almost overlapping. Melbourne Perth.
This was
shaping up like a good game.
Super weird game.
And then it was garbage. And then it got okay again, but you never felt the Perth was seriously going to come back from, what, 20-some down?
No.
What'd you take of the game? What'd you take away from it?
Well, it was a really weird game in that it was just a game of a sequence of runs, really. Perth got out. Mm. Perth got out. They actually didn't have a terrible start, and they really they took a strong lead. And then Melbourne United said, "Enough of that," and just took over themselves. And then Bryce Cotton said, "Well, let me just see if I might be able to drag the team back over the line." Gave it his best shot, but they didn't quite get there because Matthew Dellavedova decided to become an offensive juggernaut again.
He had like 14 points in the fourth. And then, we saw Boxen one, yeah, which we haven't seen since Weaver. Or not as spectacularly.
It felt very Rob Beveridge kind of coaching in that last quarter. So that sort of reminded me of the sort of stuff he would do with the Wildcats back in the day. Throw some junky defenses in there.
The big thing for me out of this is Michael Frazier. I don't have the stat line ahead of me, but I think I've got a 20 minutes, 5 points, 3 turnovers, negative 23 on the floor. I asked the question in the presser. I said, this guy's got a good resume. What's holding back? And the answer was, playing nervously and whatever else. I'm like, he's now 10 games into the NBL. One game, two games, three games, five games. All right. But now it's like, you get paid the same for good games and bad games. Frazier, my question to you, Andrew Kenyon.
Yes.
Is he surplus to requirement?
Yes. He's not the right guy for this team. And look, the Wildcats are putting up a strong United front to say that, no, we've got his back. Of course they're going to say that, right? And they'll say that. They'll say that until the day they fire him. And then they'll say, we found a new player that fits better.
So just like Dario Hunt, remember that? We love Dario. Yeah. We love him, especially the back of him.
The Wildcats are notorious for this. They get it. They've got a very good reputation for being very, team-centric and all that, but they will cut players.
They will cut, guys.
And I think they need to cut him. Interesting, DeAndre Daniels coming back to Australia.
I saw that.
Maybe he,
with an NBL 1 team, yeah.
Maybe he could come back to Perth in a hurry.
I look at the Wildcats. Sorry, you go.
No, he's just not right for them. He's taking time away from either Travers or
Norton. He's in that backcourt with Norton.
Yeah, Blanchfield.
Cotton. Blanchfield, it's a little bit of Travers, I suppose.
Kevin White has just been benched, and has seen his performance suffer accordingly. Yeah, really, like when he does come on, I just think what additional value is he adding that you're not getting from those guys as a squad? And
over the season, like 10.5 PER, which would be in a lot of lower quarter quadrant, effective field goal percentage of 36%. I've got something here. Second worst of something. So that's whatever it is. I can't read my handwriting. But that's bad. You look at Perth, they struggle defensive transitionally and they struggle with rebounds.
Yep.
Well, Frazier's the one guy you can move on, really, who you could bring in personnel to help with that.
Correct.
Now Matt Hodgson did miss this game, and I think he adds a bit, but
he's not that. I mean, he's not a beast.
He's not that. Yeah, I agree.
Come on, let's not talk about Matt Hodgson.
He's not stopping JLA.
No
way. You need someone like an Agata, someone who can kind of cover guys and also grab a few rebounds as well, and be a threat to score. And Frazier, I'm just not. Again, surplus to requirement is what I'm gonna. Yeah, I'm gonna say. I will say as well, the guy they had, who's what they're kind of looking for, is Vic Law. Had a bad game, 5 of 18. He really looked thrown off by Melbourne's physicality. He looked underprepared for what that was going to look like. I don't think when he played with Brisbane, he missed a lot of games. I don't think he had that big Perth v Melbourne in Melbourne high-pressure game. It showed he was on the back foot. He just wasn't there. Now, maybe he looked a bit hurt. Maybe he got hurt early or was hurt coming in, but he looked thrown off to me. So I think he'd be better next time. But he got a real education of no. When you go into Melbourne, they're going to get a little bit of fun with the whistle, and Dellavedova is going to be hitting you, and guys are going to be scragging you and bumping you and pushing you, and he was thrown off by it, I really did think.
To that point, though, I think Melbourne played a really good game. Their defensive intensity, it was huge. They played really well. There's no answer for JLA at the moment.
I'm glad you brought it up, man.
He is just unstoppable. There's nothing you can do. He's becoming he's a real weapon in this league now, because he takes it down. He used to just be green light and he would take bad shots. Now he's green light, but he's making good shots around the bucket or open threes.
People listening, I'll supplement this with a tweet. We'll look at 3-point attempts to this point in the season for JLA. Because last year, I just remember him barely stepping in the keyway. He was just jacking up stuff from outside. But the question coming off it is JLA an MVP candidate? Put out a tweet in the week. I mean, his numbers really jump off the page. He's, you know, top 10 in points, number one in rebounds, high up in blocks. I think it's Cotton. Cotton's going to win it. He's a safe bet, of course. Cotton, Creek, and JLA. And I think JLA is playing better than Creek. So I think he's the second best player in the NBL. And this is a guy who started the year, we were like, uh-oh, Jock Landale, JLA is going to have to step up. I didn't see him playing like this.
No, I didn't see it coming. No.
Of course not. Not
for extended minutes like this.
He's catching everything in the keyway, and he's turning and dunking, and guys cannot contest. Nope. They cannot contest the catch. They cannot contest the dunk. I want to look at his shot chart. He's barely gone outside the keyway. He is just absolutely dominating.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it speaks to the quality of bigs in the NBL at the minute. You've got him, Wetzel dominating, and then
it's sort of
Jerome Martin's a four-ish.
Falls away, but, you know, quickly, doesn't it?
Falls away real quickly. You know, you got guys like Zimmerman occupying spots, Majuk and Hodgson occupying spots.
Yeah.
Joe Chi, who I'm pretty
I think they've figured him out now, haven't they?
We said this in preseason. We're like, Glacial on pick and roll. And his minutes, when they've been this is what's telling. We're jumping around the place. But even when they had all those people out with COVID, Joe Chi, you know, 13 to 17 minutes. I was like, you know, they're playing Creek like 36, Brokoff near 40,
yep.
Luafa high 30s, and then Joe Chi only 15. I was like, oh no, revolutionize the NBL. maybe he's got a Mr. Sheen the benches and make him shine. I never understood.
Yeah, you're leading neatly.
But I will say this.
I was going to say,
you're leading neatly.
Yep. Neatly into the next game, actually, which is Phoenix and the Jack Jumpers.
Yeah, we've jumped. I just want to quickly say on Perth Melbourne, can we book those two teams in for the grand final?
Well, we booked Perth in last week, right? So
Melbourne are in.
And Melbourne are in. So there we go, done. End the season now.
I mean, this is now, what, the fifth year in a row it's going to kind of be Perth and Melbourne?
I don't see how anybody else could go with them.
Southeast Melbourne. I'm a believer. I think they're a long shot. Longer shot, but they could.
They're so streaky. You just don't know. So you streaky. Know, like you can't. But I feel like I know what I'm going to get with Perth and Melbourne, you know, like week in, week out.
Perth, well, you're sure you know what you can get?
Actually, maybe not. But I'm still.
It's the defense. Like, good teams this year play defense, and Melbourne have the best.
Yeah.
The refs are going to let you play really good defense. The game does not favour the offense in the NBL, and Melbourne play the best. Just with South Melbourne, they've missed a lot of players. Yeah. Oh, you were saying? Yep.
No, sorry, I keep interrupting. I was just going to say, don't forget Perth. They're playing all these games away.
Yeah, I had snapped and forgotten that, actually. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. Still, I just personnel-wise, I'm iffy. But no, South East Melbourne, let's go to them. South East Melbourne, Tasmania. I didn't really watch this one closely. With no Magne, I think Tasmania are predictably falling away.
Yep.
They lost this one 71-83, a low-scoring game for them. Couldn't contain Phoenix, who had players out, or at least a couple.
Yeah, they
said. I'm not surprised.
They went with them for a while, and Josh Adams is good, you know, but just didn't quite have enough towards the end. They did the best of what they could. Krizlovic and stuff, you know, trying to hold down the center. Jock Perry getting decent minutes, you know, it's not a great look when that's your front line.
Yeah, and they get real small without Magne.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the Matt Kenyons of the world and Kenyons, as you said, Krizlovic, they lose a legit presence. Yeah. And it showed, again, without Magne playing well, they're 71 points. They're right back where they were at the beginning of the year, which is really unfortunate. He's out for a while.
One of the things that surprised me about the Jack Jumpers is that Jared Bairstow, he showed something at Perth last year. He was really reliable and solid, and was really good defensive rebounder. And he's just not doing any of that this year. It's interesting the slide.
Yeah,
he's had.
I agree.
It's the inverse of his brother. But
good point. Going the other way, Brokoff was this one. 18 points, 10 of 11 free throws. Of two from three. His three-point shooting still down. We spoke about that. Brandon Ashley had the most quintessential Brandon Ashley game. Let me give you this stat line. 10 points, 3 of 3 from the field, 5 personal fouls, 4 fouls drawn. That's just Brandon Ashley. Points at a high percentage. I didn't get the rebounds, but he had a couple. And then
five fouls, of course, and then, you know, drawing fouls and causing activity. Yep. Big fan of his, and they're playing him more than Chi, and he's been here 2-3 games.
He just fits the NBL style better than Chi does. Yeah, he's mobile, he's active.
Yep.
You know, that's all the things you need in a five man in the NBL.
Did you read Matt Logue's article about refs have got to open up the game for the bigs? Did you either see it or read it? I skimmed it. I didn't read it all. People out there read it.
No, I didn't read it.
What do you think about the sentiment? Just the idea. I did agree with the crux of it. Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think that's the weakest point of this league, isn't it? The way that it's officiated.
For sure. What game was dreadful? I was watching the Sydney-Brisbane game.
Yep.
I'm not big for bitching at refs, but that was terrible.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird ones in that one.
Like high foul count, but not the ones that mattered, and guys getting fouled late. That was really pitifully officiated. That's why the score was so low. But
yep.
Sorry, we're talking about Tasmania though, and Southeast Melbourne. Anything else on them where you want to put into bed?
I think I mean Southeast Melbourne. We'll probably get a better sense of them next week once they're fully back. Their draw evens eases up a bit, and they get fully back from COVIDs and all that. And I think Mitch Creek was actually sick as well this weekend. So,
yeah, gastro. That's weird to me, isn't it? You're allowed to play with that.
I know. You're like, if you got COVID,
haven't the last 2 years meant something?
So you can still spread gastro pretty easily.
Like communicable diseases. I thought they were. We had a policy on that. Anyway,
it's like, yeah, we have the blinkers on. It's only that we only need to worry when it's legitimately COVID. Every other illness is just like, oh, what a toughie.
I know. Good heaven. Let's jump on. Sydney, Brisbane. Sydney won this one 71-69. This was certainly a tough slog for 3 quarters and 9 minutes.
Yep.
And then so dynamically dynamite into entertainment.
Yeah,
I've never seen a game end like this.
It was bonkers, wasn't it?
It was just errors compounded by spectacular play.
Yep.
It was a great win for Sydney. Got to hand it to him.
Yep.
Where do you want to go?
First of all, I want to start. I just want to say Xavier Cooks will not get credit. He tried to throw down a dunk in the first half that would have been ridiculous, just given that we've got all these dunks, right? He just launched a tomahawk, attempted tomahawk.
It was massive.
On the head of some guy. I can't remember who was trying to defend it, but he really went for it. And I like that. I just want to give kudos. I like it when guys try and dunk. Sure, you miss it, but have a crack and well done. That's good to see.
Going back on what we said before, this was a weird game where I've got the box score in front of me. Free throws, 16-9. The whistle was put away. Personal fouls, 10 on Sydney to 24 on Brisbane. It was just weird. But and that sounds like it was lopsided against Brisbane. There were plays late where Cooks got mangled on a put-up. Jarrell Martin got mangled at one time. I was like, what? What is this league? What is happening? It was so poorly officiated and, as a result, hideous to watch.
Yep.
And then Jalen Adams did what he did. I want to talk about this though, Sydney. We've talked about Buford a lot and their teaching. Coaching.
Yes. Sound like Mr. Miyagi there, the teachings.
Yeah, I know, didn't I? Buford, Lish, Kickett.
Uh-huh.
They're all relatively new to coaching. Lish, I think, has done a bit of assistant coaching, would have done it last year?
Yeah, he's been there.
Did he retire the year before?
I think he's been doing it. This might be his third year of doing it. But yeah,
But in a full-time role, I don't know, but... And then Kickett's obviously just recently retired.
Yep.
And then Buford's obviously brand new to the league. You would have thought you'd team him up with an assistant or one of in conjunction with those two who's been around for a while and also knows like how timeouts work, how certain fouls work, what the challenge rule is, because sometimes Buford can be thrown off by that.
Yes.
Yeah. And but I'm not that those two don't know it, but I don't know. Maybe bring in an assistant coach who's – you know, someone like Flavel, guy who coached Southeast Melbourne, been around for a long time. Yeah. I thought they would have had someone like that. They love new things.
He's got the female assistant coach as well. Was she a WNBL coach at one point? I can't remember.
Could have been.
I can't remember.
I'll look into that.
I'd have to check. But she should have some idea as well. Sorry, I don't know more about her. Just the myriad of assistant coaches they have. It's hard to keep up.
Get in touch with us. Patterson, I got to talk about Patterson.
Sure.
14 points, 6 of 18, not a great stat line, 3 turnovers, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Not a bad stat line. Made two major bungles on the last play. Firstly was the got dunked on. Those things happen. Just couldn't get above the rim.
Yep.
And that's where that little bit of athleticism, you're like, oh, it really came back to hurt him. And then on the missed free throw was one of him and Deng Deng were on the bottom line.
Yep.
And inexplicably gave up the – and then when he gave up the rebound, ran at Adams to just like try and steal it, and then he made the pass under Jarrell Martin. Would have been much better just to play for the shot. Bizarre.
Yeah.
And it was not a good look by either of them.
It was – yeah, it was just – it was ridiculous. It made no sense. I think everybody just seemed to lose their heads. You know, I think it's just like panic stations and nobody really they think calm down and think it through.
And what got me crazy was Franks on the floor at that time? He didn't foul out.
No, Franks wasn't.
And then Harrison, no one fouled out for Brisbane. So they could have brought in, I mean, Jack Salt isn't on the thing. He wasn't there. But
no, they had Franks. They had Franks down court. And I think they were already thinking ahead to the next play and like who's going to be able to get a shot up in time.
It was, you know? But no, Harrison, why was it Patterson and Deng Deng? Why wasn't it Harrison out there with, it should have been Harrison and Deng Deng at the foul blocks to rebound.
Yep. And I think
they had a stoppage. They could have subbed him. What was going on?
And in the presser in this game, James Duncan did actually say like he took responsibility for that he probably should have had a bit more height on the lineup line, you know, free throw lines. So yeah, I think everybody just kind of like lost their mind and didn't make good decisions.
Deng Deng steps in, doesn't find a body on Glover or whoever was behind him. I think it was Glover.
Yeah, it was Glover.
He just walks into the keyway, like, back into him. What are you doing?
Get your ass out. Like, that's, like, push back on him. Just bizarre. The funny thing was, I didn't even think the Kings should have had the ball at the end there because, you know, that one, that out of bounds call where they went to the replay center because it was in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, and they challenged it, right?
Well, no, they I think they check. They have to check, or like close calls, they're allowed to check without a challenge in the last couple of minutes. But it looked like on the replay that it was off a Sydney Kings player, but they got the ball back even after going to replay. So I don't know how that happened. The inbound, I think, that ended up on the Jalen Adams dunk. Yeah, and that was a spectacular dunk.
That was better than Creek, right?
Well, we'll get to this. But it was just explosive. Didn't see it coming. Didn't expect it at all. It's just like wham.
It was like a dynamite with no fuse. Just like it goes off in your face, you know, like Guy Fawkes Night when people were losing eyes and fingers. It's just boom.
Yeah.
No explanation.
It's just so explosive. I didn't know he had that level of explosion.
Well,
in him,
he didn't get particularly high. This is what I'm talking about. Patterson didn't get above the rim. Patterson was right there. If that was anyone else, we would have been saying spectacular block by Harrison.
Yeah,
Deng Deng saves the day. But it was Patterson, and it was just this little engine that could, and he barely got up over a phone book, and it was just boom right on his head. And Deng Deng ate it too, but he was kind of off the play. It was fantastic, taking nothing away from Adams. Adam Westerhout had the tweet of the day. He goes, listen, I think the pass is better than the dunk. And I don't think he's right, but it's a fun thing to think about. The pass was good too.
Pass is great.
Adams gets it back, scoops it under to Martin, who lays it up. I mean, that's heads up.
And it was a kind of hezzy.
There's a case to be made.
There was a hezzy to the pass. You know, he sort of faked up and then flipped it under, I think it was the way it went. But he sort of got it past the arm of, you know, because the defensive guy sort of mirrored the ball a bit and just managed to get it past him in the pocket for the layup.
We should really do a segment like NBL Pocket Podcast Pass Pocket – NBL Pocket Podcast Pocket Passes of the Week or something, but that would be probably a bit too much. But that would be the Pocket Podcast Pocket Pass of the Year.
It would be. It certainly would be a great
– and Steve Carfino is at this game.
Really? Really?
Looking – bless him, looking totally bemused. the great dunk happened and he's like looking around. Steve's one of a kind. He's very unique.
I'm just glad that part, the guy, you know, with the layup at the end was Jarrell Martin and not Jesse Wagstaff.
Oh, you didn't.
On his 400th game, no less. What? 400th game.
Well, it was a shocker. It was a shocker of a game, but Jesse wakes up on his 400th, so.
Yeah, no, in a loss, didn't play great. No. I want to talk about this. Kings have signed a player, Andrew Kanyon. I think it's on your rundown.
Yes, it is. Ian Clark. I've got a question. Is it Ian Clark or is it Ian Clark? Like Ian Ziering.
Iron Eagle. I think it is Ian.
Okay. Cool.
We'll double check. Just want to check. I'm pretty sure it's Ian. Yep. But what do you think? What do you think of the signing?
Another NBA guy.
This is Hugo.
They just can't help themselves, can they? If you have NBA on your CV, you're going to get a job with the Sydney Kings. No doubt about it. Did they really?
Can I give you my all? Sorry to interrupt you there, but I want to give you my all time. I want to give you, we'll talk about the thing, but Sydney Kings all time NBA cast off team. They've got an actual unit of five. Every position is covered. And this is only from the last sort of 10 years or so.
Okay. Hit me.
Steve Blake at the one.
Okay.
Ian Clark now, who thinks plays the two.
Right.
Josh Childress, who's probably the best of this bunch by a long way.
Yeah.
And then the bigs, you've got Josh Powell.
Oh, yeah.
And Al Harrington.
She says,
That is a fight. That is a legit, every spot is covered. Not that I'm a big positional guy, but you have got a point guard, you've got a center, you've got everything in between. That is just Sydney Kings.
You could throw a couple of subs in there too, because you can have, you can have Barry. Which Barry did they get? They got the crap.
It doesn't matter.
The crap Barry.
John Barry?
I can't remember.
I don't know.
And then they've got AC Earl. You have AC Earl, big center.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember him from a long time ago. They love their NBA guys. It's just
they do.
If you're gonna, that's the ultimate stereotypical sort of situation, is that? But it's true. They love an NBA resume.
Well, what do you think about this though, Ian Clark? Like you were talking about the fit position.
Oh, we forgot Bogut. We should add Bogut to the list, maybe, should we?
Yeah, I suppose. Oh, he was relatively good that first year.
There's a homework project for our listeners. Okay,
do it.
We need a rundown of all the, like, how many ex-NBA players per team? So which team has the most NBA accredited players over the last decade or something? Kings.
It's got to be the Kings.
I can't see anybody else coming close.
Just name five right there. It's coming close. This is, they've got, you know, add Bogut to that list and a couple other guys have poked on.
But there's got to be somebody who has that stat to hand.
And someone who has a stat, and also, what is the sort of rate of return on these NBA guys? Ooh. These older, what do you get bang for your buck? Just, it's unfair to accumulate all their stats and look at what you get. But I think, you know, it's something. Put together all their stats. What kind of average do you get off an NBA bench player who's come over? My bet would be the result and the output is pretty average, if not poor.
Yep.
they've never really panned up. So Ian Clark's got an uphill battle. The other thing is, I went to Real GM. Now, I don't know if that's a particularly up-to-date stats database, but I don't have a game for this guy since the 21st of January 2020.
He was in China
when he was in the CBA.
He? Yeah.
That's right. So he was with a team in China, played well, scored 30-some points, only played a couple of games for this team. And by a couple, I mean like three or five, seven, maybe less. I think three, actually. And then disappears and hasn't played since 2020, according to Real GM. Now, maybe that's inaccurate or out of date. I don't know.
Hmm.
But if he hasn't played since then, that's, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I can't be right, can it? So I'm like, who is this guy? And you talked about personal fit. They brought in another guard. I mean, he replaces Hunter.
Yeah.
Right? So they, as in RJ Hunter, pardon me, but I thought they needed to replace the other Hunter. I thought they needed a bruiser.
Yep.
But they obviously don't feel that way. I wonder why. What do you think their rationale would be in going with Clark?
I'm trying to figure it out because it seems like with Glover playing pretty well, they got Swaka Lebulik playing really well. Vasiljevic had a bad game this one, but he's generally reliable. Jalen Adams, I mean, the backcourt's fine. I don't really get it.
I will say Jalen Adams now has had a couple of games shooting very tepid percentages. I mean, this game he had, other than the amazing play, shot 26% from the field, 1 of 7 from the outside. I dare say over his last three games, stat nerds out there, he'd be sort of 3 of 25 in his last couple of games. He'd be shooting a really sub 20% from the outside. So, 6 turnovers in this game. I think the reason why they did this is they just went, you know what, we're really happy with Cooks.
Yeah.
We're going to play Cooks 32 to 34 minutes a game, and that's
That's that. Yep. End of story. But when you look at their bench, I'm like, it's all guards.
Yeah.
Like Tom Vidanovic. I like him, but he can't be trusted. he just can't. No. And they've got no height off their bench.
No, they don't. They don't. It's very
Bales,
much small.
Vidanovic,
ball.
Bruce, Galloway.
Galloway's not good. Like, you can't play him many minutes.
Young kid. So well, I thought, well, you want to bolster that thing, but no, they've gone the other way. I don't get it. As you said, I unless this guy's in a guard who's going to grab a lot of rebounds out of a smaller position, but I don't think he's ever had that rap. I'm not blown away by this signing.
No.
People are kind of, he's healthy. He's 30, 31, cast off NBA, had this weird relationship with China. I'll believe it when I see it, is all I'll say.
Do you know what I love about the Kings this year? They are like the weirdest team. Like, you just go, can't figure them out. And it kind of makes for a fun watch because you don't quite know. Is the coach going to get a technical foul and get sent home? Like, is somebody going to explode? Like, there's just so much. It feels like there's just this tension, in this team.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's really fun to watch.
Richly bizarre. Are they going to score 8 points in a quarter?
Yeah.
Are they going to score 35? There's no rumor. But this is who they are. I mean, I don't think Ian Clark changes anything for me. This is them winning by 2 points in the most talk about pulling it out of the rabbit, rabbit out of a hat. I mean, and this is a team in Brisbane, in the Brisbane Bullets, who we think are a 5-6 team on the ladder when it's all said and done. They won by 2 points against a team that was missing Nathan Sobey, their first or second best player.
Yeah. I'm still not seeing the Kings make the finals. I haven't got them in my finals four.
I mean, right now it's them and Illawarra, right? And I think Illawarra have far more identity and structure.
Yeah.
But the King, they're so volatile. I don't know. If you work it out, you let me know.
All right.
Before we go to Cairns, New Zealand, have you got something for me?
Oh, Cairns, New Zealand. Oh, who even cares? Yeah. I actually didn't. I didn't watch it because we'll talk about it quick.
Because you're a human being is why you didn't watch it. Why would you watch
it? Cairns and New Zealand. Why? Yeah. And then I saw the halftime score and I was like, well, justified decision. And then I realized that there was a huge comeback and I was like, I probably should have watched it, but they got the Breakers got the win.
The thing from this game, New Zealand won this one by a point. They had a huge 24-25 point lead and blew it and somehow hung on. If you watched it, good for you. Okay. Bully for you. Well done. We didn't watch it. Turnovers. Cairns had 17. With Scott Machado back, get that number down. Come on. The other thing I'll say is the storyline of this game is Andrew B. Price on Twitter, fast becoming, gets a number of mentions on this program, put up probably the video of the year where with 2 minutes left, and I want to say it doesn't matter what quarter, Mirko Jerich gets the ball, dribbles down. This is not to end a quarter. This isn't late in the shot clock. Maybe 3 seconds have come off the shot clock, maybe four.
Yep.
And he jacks up a leaning, off balance, quarter court, free throw line extended 3-point shot. It's probably, we were talking about it off air, it's probably the lowest percentage shot we've ever seen taken in a professional league. And Price has captured that moment and then zoomed in on Adam Ford, who cannot contain his disgust, his disdain, his disappointment in such a reckless shot. And it's a symphony of storylines. It's very funny. So Andrew B. Price, go and check it out.
It's beautiful. Look, Mirko's good at Mirko. That's what he does.
I mean, there's crazy shots. And this is one where unless you're going to then, when the coach calls a timeout and goes to reprimand you, you're going to either give him the finger or tell him to F off. There's no justification for this other than I want to be traded or something like that. It's just out of this world. So, Mirko, you made my day. Bro. Thank you. That's that game. Where are we going now?
I want to talk about the topic of Dunktastic.
Okay. Yeah, I know where you're going.
Okay. So we've had a number of excellent dunks this season. And I was just off the top of my head, I was thinking earlier, what are the dunks that I can recall that were right up there? So we've got the Mitch Creek, on Delhi.
On Delhi, yeah.
You've got Tajir McCall, who it was just this round, wasn't it?
Illawarra, I think.
Yeah, threw it down. Then you've got Jalen Adams, the one we just talked about in the Kings game.
Yep.
And a little bit earlier, you had Will McDowell-White, I think.
That was big.
Threw one down. They're
Southeast Melbourne, I want to say. I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. He just came running down straight down the key and threw it down. I feel like there's another one, but I can't remember, so you might need
Cooks.
Cooks dunked on Dane Pinot.
That's right. That's right. Thank you.
That was a nice one.
So, which is...
You want to rank them.
Which is the best?
The Tajima Call one is better than it looked because it was ruined by the camera angle in Illawarra, which is really high, really vertical down, so you don't get the spatial awareness. So I'm afraid to say that could have been right up the stakes, but for me, that's down the bottom.
Yep.
You know, only as good as the telling, and the camera work wasn't good. So sorry, Tajima.
Yep.
McCall. I think the best... I'll just go my top three.
Sure.
The best is Adams. It's explosive. It's massive. It's on two guys and situational. So that's number one for me.
Okay.
Two is Creek, but not by a long margin. He's second by a whisker because he is that was so – there was more hang time involved in that. Like he really got up high and Dally – I mean, sorry for the language, but Dally really ate shit. The other two, the Brisbane guy, Ding and Patterson, they didn't – I mean, they ate it, but Dally was on the floor. It was a mano a mano. He really ate shit. So that's number two. And then for me, the third one is McDowell White. McDowell White really put the guy – really wore him on his chest, the defender, and dunked on him. And Cooks is a close fourth, but Dane Pinot was kind of falling out of bounds, so the contact wasn't huge. So that's why that's fourth for me. That's my list. Where are you
at? Fair enough. I can't remember the Cooks one very well at all, so I've got to put that at the bottom just because I can't remember. Okay. I'm probably doing him a...
Doesn't have the longevity.
No,
there you go.
Can't remember. And then I'll have Tajir McCall next. Similar reason like you.
He was.
Do you know what annoys me about the NBL versus the NBA, right? You know, I'm an NBL guy. Don't really care about the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Can I preempt what you're going to say?
Sure, go ahead.
Baseline angles on dunks? The lack of in the NBL? No,
okay. That's not it. Although that's a fair point. But it's more the there's something about the camera work in that the NBA stuff just looks more dramatic. Like,
right.
It sort of feels like it pops more.
Better lenses, better. Well, just be better lenses, better camera.
Must be. Because it just seems like these, like, The
dusty, right? The NBL just looks dusty broadcast NBL.
It looks small. Whereas the court, I mean, the court's a little bit smaller in the NBL, but the rim is still the same size. The balls are the same size. The dudes are like maybe a little bit smaller, but roughly the same size.
That's where I'm going to fight on that
maybe,
one.
Maybe a bit smaller.
Well, I don't know which game it was. It was side by side with the Laker game. Lakers against Golden State, I want to say. And LeBron James just looked just so much bigger than everyone on either screen.
Well, LeBron James, that's probably an unfair. Like, he is
that's
a freak.
Unfair. That's probably unfair. But I actually think across the board, those guys are twice the size. Right. They're just so much bigger, so much better.
It just seems like everything they – it just seems the way it's televised just makes every dunk look way better, right?
Oh, I agreed.
So anyway, that's a by the by. So anyway, where was
I don't know. It may be for the camera people. Like, is it a lens thing? I know that the Americans use the Sony cams, the Sony cameras, which are top of the line. I feel that there is a fundamental difference in the HD TV. And I will say this as well about games, specifically in Sydney at Kudos Bank Arena.
Yes.
For the love of
you're going to talk about exposure?
Exposure. Oh, my God. The court looks like clay. It lower the stock. I'm talking real fancy. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but it's the glare. It's dreadful.
Yep.
What is going on? And they have a very light court compared to most.
With all the yellows.
That's the standard. Like, lower it and the yellow framing. I don't doubt it's difficult, but every week it looks dreadful.
Yep.
And there's no need for it.
Yep.
I would assume. Because that's a good arena. Kudos looks amazing in person.
Yeah.
And then on TV, it looks dreadful.
Yep.
And it did during the World Cup. So there's something going on. And maybe they need to paint their baseline or put another lacquer on the court. I don't care what it is. You got to fix it.
Yeah. Make it look like Melbourne. That's where it looks best. And Perth.
Yeah, it looks great.
Perth Arena looks rubbish as well on TV.
Perth Arena does look rubbish. It's amazing to be there in person.
Yep. Hate it on TV.
Yeah, I think they let off like fireworks and the broadcast is chalky. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Anyway, back to dunks. What I have is Cook's five, Tajir McCall up next, then Will McDowell White. Number one, number two, right? My number one dunk, Mitch Creek.
Okay, define that for me.
Okay.
Because I really grappled with it for a long time.
Okay, so it was explosive and on a guy, but it was also the style of dunk. So he
it was
he
there went, was a tomahawk with
he
a lean,
went yeah. leaning 2 foot takeoff tomahawk dunk, right? Jalen Adams was straight up run, one handed, like straight line, straight off one leg. Like I used to be a dunker, right?
Yep.
The 2 foot leaner, I was shite at. I could never get any lift off it, right?
Right.
Just
right,
couldn't
right.
do it. It was just like I was a one leg jumper, right? So anytime I see somebody do a 2 foot leaning dunk like that, it's just incredible to me because I realize how difficult that actually is to get the explosiveness out of it, and then to yam it on a guy.
What I liked about Creek as well was Dally went up, Dellavedova, pardon me, jumped bolt straight. Contact was made in the air and Dellavedova ricocheted off.
Yeah.
It was a clear, you could plot, like if you sort of had motion capture on him, it would look a lot funnier because he was bolt straight up and then just got almost like folded in half and thrown into the stanchion. It was massive.
Yeah.
I will say this though. I mean, if you put the two dunks in a vacuum, and you took the scorecard off the vision, and it's just stylistically dunk for dunk. It's clearly Creek,
yeah.
But you're not. Yeah. Where do you put situational in the scheme of it? Because artistically, it's Creek. Situational, it's Adams. You don't seem to care.
I don't really care.
Creek dunk came up 20. Yeah,
yeah. I don't really care. I'm just all about the artistry,
aesthetic.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, and Jalen Adams, like, it was a good dunk, and it was a surprising dunk rather than maybe like an amazing.
It just came out of nowhere.
Everybody by surprise, and that's
including
probably the best
his
thing about
team
it.
Team and coach.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's them now. Their record jumps up a little bit, and that dunk. I think it ruins Brisbane's season. I just think I don't know what they're at. What's their record? I'll bring it up quickly. It keeps the Kings alive, and I think it sinks Brisbane.
I think they're probably a bit far behind now.
5-8, whereas Sydney go to 8-7. So they jump over 50-50.
Yeah.
That's Brisbane. They're done. You can't make up that kind of ground. They're 3 games below 500. They're 2 games behind on Illawarra.
That's a challenge.
Then they don't have games in hand as well. They've played 13, Kings have played 15,
yeah,
and Illawarra's played 13. No, it's over. So too bad. And it was that dunk that did it, because if they'd won that game, we're sniffing around.
Yeah. Yeah. Would have made a big change.
Moving on from the dunks, anything else?
I've got one more taking it to the tweets.
Do it.
Okay. Derek Rucker.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Derek Rucker, he's on the telecast this season. I think
he's very charming.
I like listening to him. You know, I think
checking past, but we like.
I know. I don't care. I'm just the man he is on TV today. I enjoy that product, right? But he was on the tweets and he said, "Yo, Uber Eats, your delivery people in Brisbane City are beyond reprehensible." I love his vocabulary as well. "You got to fix it, given your exorbitant delivery and service charges. My food was left outside on the street. Who does that?" Okay. So then I had to reply back to him and say, "Sounds like you need to try NBL League sponsor DoorDash."
Ooh. Well, did you get a reply?
Nah, he never got back to me.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe you will next week. DoorDash, your services are exemplary. Derek Rucker, good guy. He's really great in the telecast. He has a lot of fun with it, but he also sticks his beak in. He'll ask.
Yeah,
he will stick his beak in there, and why is this guy hurt? What's going on there? He'll get you some info, good or bad, or right or wrong. He will get you the info.
So I feel like he's not part of the establishment. You know, I feel like he's running up against people who would rather he wasn't there.
He's in Brisbane. You know, he's just kind of doing his own thing. I think that's the furthest orbit from the league, and it shows. And he's really good.
Yep.
So,
although I do miss the iguana.
Yeah, that's true.
John Guana. The iguana.
John Guana. He was.
He was very good. He was very good at his craft.
Maybe the two of them. Anyway,
okay.
They can work that up. They'll work that up. I think we've come to the end. We're at just over an hour. So
that is flown by. I wasn't looking at the recording timer. It's really.
I know, right?
Phew, look at that.
Well, people, we hope you enjoy it. We really do hope you've had some fun. Just quickly looking at the next round. I haven't got the schedule in front of me just now. I'm clicking on NBL.com. It's loading. All right. Melbourne, Phoenix. Have you got in front of you by any chance, Andrew? I'm looking through for games of note. Sydney, Perth, and Sydney. Hawks play a couple of games this round. They play two, top and tailing the round on Friday and then the end. That big round for them. First game of the round is the throwdown. That's the game of the round. So Thursday, 7:30, people listening. If you don't make any other NBL game, I mean, a sleepy Thursday, that's pretty good entertainment.
Yeah,
so,
that's the game of the round, I would agree.
Let's say both teams are at full strength. Andrew Canyon, who wins?
Melbourne United win. Defensive pressure.
I agree.
Yep.
I feel like Southeast Melbourne want to chance their hand at Perth in the finals. To think, they're sort of streaky like us, whatever. I think Melbourne will make mincemeat of this team. I just think Melbourne they don't make errors, and Phoenix do, unfortunately.
Just at the other end of bookending the round, curious game to watch will be Illawarra Hawks up against the Tasmania Jack Jumpers.
Why is this interesting? Because I look at this with, I think this is banality in basketball.
Because
why do you like?
If the Illawarra Hawks cannot win this game, I may have to reconsider their position in the top four, and I think Sydney might have to take over from there. Crunch time. If you can't beat Jack Jumpers, you don't deserve to be there.
Are Jack Jumpers now again definitely the worst team in the league, or is it Cairns or New Zealand? No, it's Jack Jumpers. Without Magnay, they're nothing.
Yeah.
They won when he played well. Yeah. He is now out. I think they're totally down. Or mate, Adelaide. A case could be made. They play Cairns. Oh, my God. Sunday, 1 o'clock. People, put your washing on the line, mow the lawn, whatever.
Man.
Sydney-Perth will be fun. Sydney, let's see if you're for real. Saturday, that's
Hodgson's,
at
Hodgson's first game back. Just as the league scripted it.
That was weird. We haven't touched on that. Him getting an extra week. And this is the Melbourne game. If people are going to cry.
Yeah. Yeah, and then back for Sydney. So just
but people are like, oh, now that Hodgson's out, it's like Hodgson didn't have any bearing on this game. I know JLA got off, but we spoke about it. He wasn't going to change anything. All right. Well, let's end it there because we're over an hour. Thanks very much for listening, everyone. Patreon, Booktopia. If you're thinking about buying Body Nodge's book from the Brad and Body podcast, do it. Do it via the Booktopia link. Yep. It helps out the show. We'd appreciate it. Andrew, you're going to say
keep
something?
Keep up the NBL tipping. The ESPN.
Do what we haven't done and tip.
Hey, no, I'm doing it. I got 6 out of 7.
Oh, you're doing it.
I got 6 out of 7. I got 2 out of 7. That's what I'm talking about.
I forgot to do my tips.
So that's why you're talking it down.
That's what I'm talking. I tell you what, I got to say this though. You know what I got into in a big way, and I've got it minimized on my desktop here. I got an emulator for Pokemon, Pokemon Yellow. So if you're out there, I don't know if it's the same way that NBL likes WWE, also likes Pokemon.
Right.
I'm back into it.
Gotta catch them all.
8 years old again. Gotta catch them all. Booktopia, all that stuff. Catch us on Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod at Andrew Canyon, CANION.
That's it.
That's it. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.